Today's edition of Rising Higher is brought to you by Medicare Pro. Don't forget that open enrollment is now through December the 7th.
Hello, my name is Tamika Smith, and I am a licensed Medicare agent and community advocate with the Medicare Pro Insurance Agency. We are so excited to work with our San Antonio families during this Medicare season as we help them navigate through the confusing world of Medicare, from excessive phone calls, TV advertisement, and excessive mails. We educate our families on the differences between traditional Medicare, Medicare supplemental options, and Medicare Advantage plans. Because we are brokers, we do the shopping for you to determine which plan options best works for you and your family. We also evaluate our clients to determine if they can qualify for the $148.50 Part B reduction, which in turn will increase your Social Security check. And even if you don't qualify, there are many plans out there for 2022 with the Part B give back option when you enroll in that plan. And this includes our VA veterans and military families. Our community partners work with us to help provide caregiver services in the home and incontinence supplies at no cost to our clients. And the good thing about it is there is no cost or obligation for our services. And we would love for you to give us a call at 210-760-2379. We are your local agents, and we are excited and ready to work for you. Again, that number is 210-760-2379.
So the game goes on, right? And now we're in the fourth quarter. It's a close game. And because it's a close game, you know, the Spurs score. And all my whole section, like the people in front of me, they were jumping up and down, turning around, high-fiving me. I had no idea who they were, but I was high-fiving them back. You know what I'm talking about? And then the guys were getting out of their row, running up the stairs, high-fiving all of these people. And the energy in that place was unreal. And I started thinking to myself, right, as the opposing team called timeout and everyone's going crazy, everyone was excited to be there, I started high-fiving all these guys, and another deep thought came to me that I don't know a single thing about these guys. I don't know their names. I don't know where they came from, but I know who they're rooting for. It didn't matter to me what their past looked like. It didn't matter to me what they looked like. But I knew who they were rooting for. And there's something beautiful about unity.
Welcome to Rising Higher, the radio ministry sponsored by 316 Church in San Antonio, Texas. We are located at 7760 Prue Road between Babcock Road and Bandera Road. At 316 Church, our threefold mission is love, live, lead. We are called to love God and love people, live in Christ and for Christ, and lead our culture to Jesus. Check us out at 316.org. That is THREE16.org. Join us here on KDRY every Monday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. and Saturday mornings at 8:30 a.m. And now, here is your host for Rising Higher, Pastor Randy Garcia.
Well, can you believe we are already in the month of December? I don't know whether it's that I'm getting older, that time seems to fly by much faster, but I don't know about that. Maybe you've experienced that, maybe you haven't, I don't know. But we're in December, and today we're going to celebrate another day of life that the Lord has given us. Thank you for tuning in to Rising Higher. We started a new sermon series called One, and it's all about how we serve one God, one Lord, one Savior, one Spirit, one life, one love, one message. It's all about Jesus. And when we come together in unity, the result is beautiful community. That's what we're talking about here today, and our topic today is One Victory. As Pastor Randall Shawn shares his heart about how we as believers need to come together as one. Let's jump right into today's message, One Victory. Here's our Bible teacher, Randall Sean Garcia.
Can somebody say victory? Oh, my goodness. For years, we have had Victory Sunday on this Sunday where we fall back and get an extra hour of sleep. So, you know, this is a Pastor Randy joke right here. You know what that means is I'm preaching an extra hour today. I hope that you came ready. God bless the Dallas Cowboys. You'll only miss the first half. But today we're going to continue our sermon series on the topic called One. Somebody say one. And what does it look like here today? Isn't it beautiful? We said it earlier. There is beauty in unity. There is beauty in unity. I feel the energy in this room. I feel the atmosphere is a little bit different today. Do you feel it? When the Spirit of God moves, the Spirit of God moves in this one community. And today we're going to dive a little bit deeper into John chapter 17. So you got your notes there right in front of you. It should be on your seats. Or if you want to connect to the YouVersion Bible app, you can go to events, click 316 Church. Carlos, why don't you show everybody that you're already there? There you go. Thank you, Carlos. And we're going to dig a little bit deeper into John 17, and we're going to be in verse 20. You know, we've been hanging out here in John 17 for the last several weeks because there's so much that Jesus has to say about unity. And I want us to get a clear picture and maybe even a different perspective on what unity looks like. There is something beautiful about unity. And so John 17, 20 reads like this in the NIV version. It says this. This is Jesus praying. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone." And he's actually talking about his disciples at this point. So he's saying, "My prayer is not just for my disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." How many of you know that's you? Because of the faithfulness and the obedience of the disciples and the followers of Jesus, we know the gospel message of Jesus. And so Jesus says, "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you've given me, that they may be one as we are one." Can you see how many references to unity there is? "I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete," what's that word? "Unity. Then the world will know." Wait, why is this so important? I'm going to start preaching before I'm just reading the verse right now. But why is unity so important? Why is oneness and togetherness and why is community so important? Can I tell you why today? "Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." You see, unity, yes, it's for us, and we can receive blessings from unity, amen? But our unity has more to do with others than it even has to do with us. Because then the world will know that this is proof that Jesus came, that there is one God and one Spirit and one mind. And so today, we're going to dig a little bit deeper into these verses. Would you pray with me as we pray over today's teaching? Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us the holy, inspired word of God to teach us, to lead us, to guide us. Today, as we dig into another unity topic, Lord, would your word come alive to us? May we understand unity from your perspective. Lord, may we continue to press on as one body, moving in one spirit, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. In your name we pray, let these words be yours and not mine. Amen. Amen. You know, it's interesting. Just about a week and a half ago, in fact, October the 28th, my mamma turned 98 years old. Wow. 98 years old. And you know what's interesting about my grandma? We call her mamma. I think one of the most interesting things about her is that every time it's her birthday or it's Christmas, she always asks for one thing. It's always one thing. And it's always the same thing, year after year after year. And, you know, from the many years of wisdom that she's developed and grown, you can see that there's wisdom and that there's something about her request that is just profound beyond measure. And it sounds simple, but I think it's profound. She simply asks for this. I want the family to get together. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you have a family member, a loved one. Maybe you have somebody in your life that all they want is for the family to come together. That's all I want, whether it's the holidays, whether it's my birthday, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter. All I want is for us to get together. And if I can have that, then I'll have everything that I believe I need at the time. You see, my mama, she longs for togetherness. She longs for unity in the family. She, out of everything in the world that she could possibly ask for, there's one request that repeats itself over and over and over again. I just want to see one family. I just want to see my people. And I think that's directly correlated. It reminds me of what Jesus prayed for when he was praying this prayer. He was praying for unity amongst his people. He was praying for togetherness because Jesus knew that togetherness, that unity, that oneness was simply the greatest strategy to proclaim the gospel message of Jesus to all creation. Jesus knew that if we were one spirit, then nothing could stop the Spirit of God in our midst. Jesus prayed it. And in fact, if you read John chapter 17 and you continue on, because John chapter 17 is Jesus' entire prayer. And if you read into John 18, do you know what happens in that next chapter? If you read on, Jesus gets betrayed by Judas. Jesus gets betrayed. There's division. The disciples scatter. They go in fear. And, you know, Jesus must have known something about unity. I think that Jesus must have known something about oneness, about bringing people together, about not causing division or not being a divided body, not being a divided house, but the power of unity. And so this is what Jesus prayed for in his final moments before being turned over to the Roman guards. Isn't that interesting? But why does Jesus adamantly pray for unity? I think that that next verse tells us, and I almost started preaching it a few minutes ago, but it's because then the world will know. You see, Jesus says, I want us to be one just as the Father and I are one. I'm praying for unity. Let's come together. Let's be one body and one spirit. Why all of this? So the world will know. So that the world will know. So that the world will have proof. So that the world will be receptive to the message of Jesus. So that the world will see something beautiful in unity.
Do you believe that there's beauty in unity? I believe that. That was Jesus' prayer, and I hope that is our prayer as well. Thank you for tuning in to Rising Higher. Now, if that kind of focus when Jesus prayed was important to him, shouldn't it be important to you and I? I kind of believe that. Now, I'm going to add one more thing to that. Can we be the answer to Jesus's prayer? He prayed for unity. And when we live in unity with our brothers and sisters, we become the answer to Jesus's prayer. Okay, We're going to take a quick break, then we'll be right back. Pastor Randall Shawn's going to develop these thoughts a little bit more in just a few minutes. For right now, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. You are listening to Rising Higher right here on AM 1100 KDRY. And we're in December, so I guess this means we are in the Christmas music mode.
Rising Higher brings you the sounds of Christmas, meaning behind the Christmas carols, Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her King, let every heart prepared Him move.
And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
Joy to the World was originally written by Isaac Watts in the early 1700s. It is actually a paraphrase from the last part of Psalm 98, where the Word of God says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for He cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall He judge the world, and the people with equity." Although this Great Christmas Carol was originally a song of rejoicing for Jehovah's protection of His chosen people and the anticipation of the time when He would be the God of the whole earth, this psalm was intended by Isaac Watts to be a New Testament expression of praise. This song was originally titled "The Messiah's Coming and Kingdom" when it first appeared in Isaac Watts' hymnal in 1719. The music for this popular carol is thought to have been adapted by Lowell Mason, an American church musician, from some of the phrases used in parts of George Frederick Handel's beloved oratorio, "The Messiah," first performed in 1742. Through the combined talents of an English literary genius of the 18th century, a German-born musical giant from the same period, and a 19th century American choir director and educator, another great Christmas carol was born. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let heaven and nature sing.
Hey everybody, this is Stephen Curtis Chapman, and you're listening to Rising Higher Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Rising Higher. We're looking at John 17, a prayer that Jesus prayed, and He prayed for unity. I kind of have a feeling that you and I can not only pray the same prayer, but we can actually be an answer to Jesus' prayer. Do you believe we can? I believe we can. So we're going to get back into our teaching. Once again, John 17, Pastor Randall Shawn, our Bible teacher, is looking at this theme about what Jesus prayed for, unity.
You see, Jesus says, "I want us to be one just as the Father and I are one. I'm praying for unity. Let's come together. Let's be one body and one spirit." Why all of this? So the world will know. So that the world will know. So that the world will have proof. So that the world will be receptive to the message of Jesus. So that the world will see something beautiful in unity. You see, there is beauty in unity, isn't there? And doesn't the world gravitate towards beautiful things? Doesn't the world gravitate towards oneness and togetherness and to peace and harmony? Doesn't the world gravitate towards things like that? I'm going to tell you today, the world recognizes unity. The world recognizes unity. Whether people are unifying over a just cause or something that may seem unjust, the world recognizes unity. In fact, the world values unity, preaches unity. The world craves unity. But I think that we just don't know how to get it. You know what I'm talking about? Because I feel like there's more division in our world than there is unity. Would somebody agree with me? There's so much division. Whether it's politics or ideologies or philosophies or denominations or, you know, different things. We are so divided. We are a divided people. But then there's a spark of unity somewhere. There's these sparks of unity. People rallying around a great cause. And people gravitate towards that. They love to feel a part of something bigger than themselves. Have you noticed that? They love to celebrate things together. But if people recognize unity, that also implies something else, that people recognize disunity. That people also recognize division in different ways, shapes, and forms. In fact, Matthew 12:25 says this, if a house is divided against itself, it will not stand. And the world recognizes unity, but they're also paying attention. What does the church of Jesus look like? If they're recognizing unity on the outside and they're seeing division on the inside, then what is the beautiful thing that they should be a part of? You see, the world recognizes things. The world is watching. The world is looking at the body of Christ. They're looking at the church of Jesus. And many times, we're not sending the right message. You see, Jesus is praying in these verses for a unified people, for a unified house that will stand the test of time, that will stand firm, that will stand up and stand out from the culture. Jesus is praying for a unified house of people that will stand strong on the Word of God, on the foundation of the Word of God. You see, Jesus knows something when he's praying this prayer. Jesus says, the greatest strategy of my church is going to be what I'm praying for right now. The greatest strategy in my people is unity. The greatest strategy is oneness. Why? Because when we're one, people can see the beauty of who I am. People can see the unity of what I can do. People will see the oneness of God revealing itself through the church. Isn't that amazing? But isn't that still yet so hard to do? Let me ask you, what is the greatest path to unity? What is the greatest path to unity? You know, I'm just going to give you my analysis of every 4 years during a presidential election. I feel like no matter what party, everyone preaches unity. Have you noticed that? Let's unite around the Democratic Party. Let's unite around the Republican Party. But the interesting thing about unity is unity is not, the best path to unity is not getting everybody to believe what you believe. The greatest path to unity is not to get everyone else to vote the way you vote. The greatest path to unity is to be more like Jesus. So I can't waste my time just to try to change someone's mind when I have been called to be unified. You see, I think that unity is more purpose-driven than people-driven, because I'm going to keep my mind on Christ. I'm going to keep pressing forward. I'm going to keep moving ahead. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. And if I can keep my eyes on Jesus, then I believe that people will start recognizing what it's like to be one. But we want everybody to think like and talk like and act like we do. You see, the greatest path to unity is not for everybody else to be like you. The greatest path to unity is for everyone to be like Jesus. You see, unity is something that God gives his people when they seek him first. That's how unity is unified. That's how unity is made clear. And so I want you to know, number one, I want you to know that unity is what Jesus prayed for. Unity is what Jesus prayed for. You see, unity is more about the direction. Unity is more about keeping your eyes on Jesus, not keeping your eyes on yourself. I'm going to give you point number two already. Unity is not uniformity. And you heard me say this a few weeks ago. Number two, unity is not uniformity. Because too many times we think that everyone should think like us and act like us and be like us. But no, the best way to unity is not to be uniform, but to in our differences, be one. You see, I'm going to be one with my brother and sister, even in my differences with them. I'm going to be one spirit with them, even if we have different perspectives. You see, unity is one body, but many parts, right? Unity is one body, but many parts. Unity means we have different talents, different strengths, different things that God has created us, different skill sets, different passions. But we come together for the name of Jesus, to proclaim his name to all nations, to our community, to our family members, to our co-workers. We are one in spirit, although we're different. Galatians 3:28 actually illustrates this. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Meaning it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter how you've messed up. Unity can be achieved when we pursue Jesus.
Unity can be achieved when we pursue Jesus. I hope you're in agreement with that, because that's the way Jesus prayed. And I believe that's the way you and I need to pray today. And as I said a few minutes ago, can we be an answer to Jesus' prayer? How can we be an answer to Jesus' prayer? Just live in unity with one another. Thank you for tuning in to Rising Higher. We are out of time, but the good news is we're going to continue this message tomorrow. One victory. Hope you can join us tomorrow as we continue this sermon series, One. It's all about the unity in community. And when we have unity, we're going to have beautiful community. That's what Jesus prayed for. That's what we need to pray for. Once again, thank you for tuning in today. You've been listening to Rising Higher, brought to you by 316 Church. Feel free to check us out on the web at 316.org. That's THREE16.org. And feel free to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:30. We're on Prue Road in Northwest San Antonio. Be blessed.